Hello and welcome to Friday on the Think Big Show, where entrepreneurs and business owners from around the world come together to think bigger, work smarter, and grow successful businesses faster through online strategies, leadership, and mindset. I'm Mia DeBolt, founder of the Think Big Network, and I'm joined here with my husband, my pilot, mission accomplishment strategist, JT DeBolt.
And you, my love, are my navigator. Great to be with you on a Friday. Happy Friday to you and to all of our friends out there. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever time it is for you, no matter where you might be tuning in from on the Big Blue Marble. Thanks, as always, for joining us here each and every single Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. And as tradition has held up for these past several years, I'd like to send you off into the weekend with something to chew on, something to think about, something to go a little bit deeper on. And today's topic is definitely one of those. Would you agree?
Oh, totally.
This is something that I think we both have experienced many times, and I can promise you, if you have not yet experienced this, if you haven't experienced it, somebody you care about probably has. And if, of course, this hasn't come across for you in your business or your career, then hats off to you. My hand salute to you. But this is definitely one of those faceless, silent assassins, and it literally kills results, especially affects people in leadership. It affects people who are striving for something big, and all of a sudden you start to get that momentum and you start to get the results, and you're kind of looking around going, is this really possible? Happens to high performers of all types. What I'm talking about is something called the imposter syndrome. Now, imposter syndrome is a phenomenon where high achievers are kind of unable to internalize their own accomplishments. They look around, they have that persistent fear of being exposed as a fraud. And typically, you start having these feelings of, I guess you could call them inadequacy. Would you say?
Oh, definitely.
You know, it's like, wow, I'm starting to have success. This has got to be a scam. Like, there's something not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all starting to work out. When is the floor going to cave in on us? And we start feeling like, okay, I've gotten to this certain level, and now all of a sudden, you know, it was a fluke. It was luck. There's no way I'm going to be able to duplicate this. And more importantly, who am I to actually have this? I can't believe people are coming to me for advice. I can't believe people are coming to me for the answers. Or I can't believe that people are buying from me all of a sudden. And what's crazy about this, we have that fear of being found out or exposed. We start having that sort of where it's almost like an inability to enjoy the victory. And we start thinking, man, the success, this is where people, I think, a lot of times have the fear of success. Like, it's almost like it's like a prediction. They can pre-see it. They can pre-feel it. They can pre-experience it. I know those aren't words, but it's this sense like, man, am I even the kind of person that deserves to have this? You know? So we feel like an imposter. And that's the thing that we're going to talk about today. Now, give me an example where this has happened for you, because I'll give you an example where it's happened for me, and it's kind of funny, but it's not so funny. But
yeah, so back when I was building my SEO business, I had results in our business because I had actually done it for our website. I had dominated Google for a certain keyword, and then I decided, oh, we're going through financial strife. Let's kick it up a notch. Let's try to do something that's maybe outside of network marketing, and let me build an SEO business. And that's when I had to actually be the front of our business. I had to actually go out and get clients. And that's, that was a scary thing, because I'm like, well, I did it for our business. Can I do it for somebody else? Who am I to, not just do, and then I started getting clients. Who am I to actually teach SEO to somebody else? And so, that self-doubt and that, feeling of being an imposter of like, well, what do I really have to teach somebody else? That starting to look around and starting to get success, starting to get some clients, and then I'm self-doubting myself.
Which is crazy, because if you think about SEO, search engine optimization, it's not quite as sexy as it used to be, right? But it's not something you just pick up a book and go, oh, I'll just do this, right?
Right.
Or you scan a website and go, okay, here's five ways to do SEO. Like, that was, to me, one of the most, He's like alchemy. He's like turning something into nothing, or turning nothing into something, I should say. But what was crazy is, you know, you were talking about that and how that feeling of, you know, I'm the person that people turn to. The first time I really remember it happening for me was where I had a, you know, I mean, there were times in my life, I guess, maybe where all of a sudden I'm in the starting lineup in the high school football team, right? And I'm like, am I really the best guy to be playing this position? Where it really happened for me was when you and I were in the squadron together and I finally got upgraded and qualified to be an aircraft commander. And the very first time I ever signed for the airplane, which meant I was the guy in charge, was what we called a repo flight, where we repositioned the aircraft. So we flew with a crew across the country, and we were going to fly the plane from Jacksonville, Florida, back to Whidbey Island, Washington. So literally from one corner to the next of the United States. And it was going to be me, two other pilots, our flight engineer, and then you know, a couple of people on the crew. And I'm in charge of these people now. And I remember we get up to altitude, everything, we do everything like we always did when we had another person on board. And then I'm up at the top, you know, we're cruising at altitude, and the guy sitting next to me asks me a question, you know, asks me a question that you would ask the aircraft commander. It was one of our procedures, and I was like looking for the guy to make the decision, you know, looking for somebody to be like in charge. And I'm like, oh shit, like I'm the guy. And so, you know, it's interesting because it's happened to me in business. It happened, you know, I used to do a live TV interview, and then you and I used to get interviewed on TV all the time on the news. And not recorded, like this was live television. And they're like, okay, we're going live in 30 seconds. And you're like, okay, everything's hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden they go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're live. And then the news anchor, this is a, you know, NBC News, like the local affiliate in Boise, Idaho. They're like, I'm here with mission accomplishment expert JT DeBolt, JT. And then all of a sudden, like in that split second, I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, why am I the guy on TV? So the imposter syndrome is serious, because it's not like when you're commanding a, you know, $50 million aircraft or when you're going live on the news. Those are kind of like situational things. It happens on a daily basis at times, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the typical symptoms is you start feeling like success is kind of like a matter of chance, right? Like there's no way you could duplicate this. You start fearing that you're going to be the person that is discovered, sort of like the Wizard of Oz being hidden behind the curtain. And there's a lot of statistics on this, by the way, that, you know, they say that it happens a lot more to women than it does to men. We could explore that. There's a lot of psychology behind that. It happens a lot to people in upper management or leadership positions. And now all of a sudden they're in charge, and especially if they've just been put there, if they've worked their way through. But here's the thing. In all the years we've been working with entrepreneurs, I have found this to be true with almost every single one of them. They start to have a measure of success, and then they go, whoa, hold on a second. This is unnatural. This is weird. So we're going to talk about how to overcome it. We're going to talk about what it means to really get past this imposter syndrome. And I just want to give kind of like a, if I can put my arm around your shoulder, metaphorically, kind of, you know, virtually put my arm around your shoulder. I want you to know that if you ever go through this, if you've ever gone through it, or if you know somebody who's gone through the imposter syndrome, number one, you're not losing your mind.
You're
right?
Not alone. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Number two is you can get through this. You don't have to sit there and go, okay, you know, I'm a fraud, I'm a fake. And number three, it's not actually helping you. So don't feel like you got to stay stuck here, because it's better for you. It's better for the people you're here to serve when you get past it. So what's the first thing we need to do? Number one, first thing, if you start to think, I'm a fraud, like who am I to be so successful? Or what if I'm found out? What if I can't duplicate this? What if I can't continue this? Just slow down and do an assessment, all right? And there's a couple of things that I'm going to suggest. I know Mia's probably got hers too. The first one is ask yourself, what have you accomplished in the past? And it's okay if those accomplishments aren't directly related to the accomplishment you're making. So for instance, you're building a business and you're starting to have success. People are starting to come to you for solutions, for advice, whatever the thing is. Ask yourself where in the past you have been the go-to person. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were on the student council in school. Maybe you were the captain of the sports team. Maybe you were the person that, you know, the best babysitter on the block. There are places in everybody's life where you've had accomplishments. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just about like, oh, you know, I won the gold medal in the Olympics. Small accomplishments that matter to you and matter to other people.
Yeah. So part of it is finding the evidence that supports the opposite of what you're thinking. So you may be thinking you're an imposter, or who am I to teach something? And you can look back on maybe a previous career where you were an instructor, or you're a parent and you taught something to somebody else. Like, you can find that evidence in your life and then feel those feelings of that confidence of feeling like the person in charge, and how it felt to actually get that feedback from the person that you're teaching, you know. And, you know, it really is about finding that evidence from your past and bolstering your present.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I think, you know, part of this we have to ask ourselves is, what did we do to get here? What did you do to actually make this success happen? So I got a really good friend of mine who crushed it on a launch, and they did, you know, several six figures on a launch, which means like over the course of like 48 hours, they made almost $500,000. And there was a part where they were excited. He and his partner were like slapping five. They were so pumped that they did it. And then all of a sudden he had this realization. He was sharing this with us in a private mastermind. He's like, now I have to fulfill on this. You know, I have all these people just paid all this money, and now I got to deliver. He wasn't worried about delivering the product. He was worried about delivering the outcome that he had promised. And so one of the most kind of telling things for him that got him past that panic mode, like, holy crap, what do we just do here, was, how did we get here? Like, how was it that we made $500,000 in a few hours, really? It wasn't by pure chance. Like, really great things that happen to you in life rarely happen by chance.
Yeah.
You can get struck by lightning and attacked by a shark and stung by a bee all at the same time, I'm sure. But the point is that in life, with true success, it's not like by accident. It just doesn't work out that way. The question you have to ask yourself is, what did we do to get ourselves here? Because the chances are, that's the evidence you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, so every moment has built up to that moment that you're feeling that way. And so you can look at those previous moments and say, oh no, I didn't feel that way before, so why should I feel it now?
Yeah, exactly. And so my buddy that I was just talking about, they actually slowed down. They're like, well, what did we do? And they looked at their sales funnel. They looked at their offer. They looked at the webinar. They looked at the pitch. They looked at everything. And they were like, we did so many things right, and it had influenced people in a positive sense. And it got them to do the thing that they weren't going to do in the first place had we not been here. That takes skill. And so when you see that, then you validate to yourself, hey, you know, there's some worth here. The next thing you got to ask yourself is, you know, how have we earned this? If you got a promotion, you did something right. Even if somebody got fired and they're like, well, you're the next person there, you had to have been good enough to be the next person in line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to going, well, I'm not good enough, and dwelling on that area, you have to look at the value. You have to look at kind of like, okay, you know, there must have been something about me, or something, the way I behave, something that I did. And maybe it's a risk you took. Maybe you were the boldest person. Maybe you were the person that had the most courage. Maybe you had the most innovation, the most creativity. Something somewhere got you where you were to have that success. But you have to honor it. Now, the next part to really overcoming this imposter syndrome is to realize that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And by the way, a little bit of a double-edged sword. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. This is also true for crappy stuff, right?
Yeah.
When something awful happens, you're right exactly where you're supposed to be.
Exact same process goes for the crappy stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's how long you stay there. You know, how long do you stay at in the imposter syndrome, and how long do you stay in the crappy zone? You know, those things, you got to look at the past moments and say, okay, I've earned this, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, or, you know, I've earned it, and now I'm taking responsibility for it, and now let's move forward. Let's find the evidence to change it, to change the mindset, because it really is just a mindset. It's nothing has changed in the outside world.
Right.
The
exactly.
only thing that's changed is inside you.
That's actually a beautiful thing, the way to put it, because if you think about whether it's the imposter syndrome or the woe is me,
mm-hmm.
like something crappy happens to you and you're like, oh my God, or something amazing happens to you, you're like, no way. They're both very powerless places to be. So you can either be a victim or you can be an imposter in your own mind. That's a decision to make, right? And so when we look at that, we say to ourselves, okay, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I earned this. Now it's time to stand and deliver. So if something awful happens to you, go, okay, it was through our actions, through our, or maybe our inactions, through our decisions or the lack thereof. It was through judgment or bad judgment or whatever. But the same thing is true for when something good happens. You know, you earned it. Now stand up and deliver. Instead of thinking, oh my gosh, you know, who am I? Start going, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. Well, that's probably the single best question you can ask yourself.
Yep,
why not
me?
Right? Now, the next part to this, and this is kind of, you know, I'm going to say this with love, but this is more of a kick in the ass than anything else, is you got to lighten up, right? So I remember I got interviewed on a very popular podcast, and the interviewer is well known. He's had all these like big names on there. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to say? Because, you know, he's going to ask me these questions. And he said, I'm going to ask. So he gave me a series of questions, and I prepared like I could, you know, as hard as I could for this thing. And he goes, but I'm going to ask you one question that I'm not going to tell you. So you're just going to have to just go with it. And it's the last question I'll ask you. I'm like, all right, cool. So we go, we do the interview. The interview is great. And then we're coming up to that dreaded question that I didn't know was, you know, didn't know what it was going to be. And he goes, okay, so I have one last question for you. And for those of you listening out there, you know, JT doesn't know what's coming next. And so I'm like kind of bracing for the impact. And he goes, what advice would you give the younger you?
Nice.
And it was so funny because it was something that I'd actually read in an interview of Anthony Hopkins, of, you know, obviously famous actor. He played, you know, Hannibal Lecter. He's, you know, in Silence of the Lambs. He played all kinds of great roles. And he's a really gifted, actually, what do you call it? Musical composer.
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Interesting.
But he was interviewed and they asked him a question, and I thought this particular, they asked him the same question, like, what advice would you give the younger you? And his answer hit me so hard that it was like my go-to answer. And the answer is lighten the fuck up, right? Lighten the F up. That's the advice. And that's exactly the advice I would give my younger self, because I was so hard on myself, beat myself up so much. And then when I did start to have success and start to rise through the ranks and do the things that I wanted to do, I thought there's something wrong. Somebody got the wrong social security number on this. Somebody's got the wrong name. My name shouldn't be on this. And that's the thing you have to do. And this is me, the Uncle JT, putting his arm around your shoulder, but there's a part of me kicking you in the ass. You have to lighten up, because if you keep saying to yourself, I'm not worthy of success, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep.
So you may as well start accepting the fact that you won, that you had some success, and now stand up and deliver, because now you got a responsibility for that.
That's right, and that you're enough. I mean,
exactly.
A lot of the underlying problem with this syndrome is that we don't feel like we're enough. We don't feel like we earned it. We don't feel like we should have the success that we're having. And so we sabotage it by having this imposter syndrome and staying there.
Exactly. And it goes back to that message, you know, the part of the conversation we were having about the first time I flew the airplane as the man, you know, the head cheese, the guy in charge. The fact of the matter is that even if you blow it, even if you screw up, chances are you're going to survive, and so will everybody else. If you got that promotion, if you made all those sales, if you just crushed it in your whatever it is, you launch your book and it becomes a bestseller. Even if you blow it, even if you screw it up, chances are you're going to survive.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to physically die. Nobody's going to get maimed. It's going to be fine. Now, if you're in some sort of a super dangerous life or death type of thing, you're going to try to parachute out of an airplane without, you know, jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Yeah, okay. Then you can go down that path. But in everyday life, when we're striving and we're doing things, we're, you know, acting as high performers in our businesses and in our lives, chances are nobody's going to die.
That's right.
And neither will you. So that's why I'm saying lighten up. Now, here's the other part. Here's the happy reality. Most people don't know. This has happened to me more than once. In fact, it's happened twice in recent memory. I have gotten up on stage in front of hundreds of people live with my friggin' zipper open, you know, and
nice.
Nobody even caught it. I caught it. And I even said to the person that introduced me, I said, did you see that? And they're like, no. I'm like, holy crap. So my point is that most people are never going to see you as the imposter you think you are.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So go do it. You know, go live on Facebook. Do your Facebook live. Nobody knows that you are freaked out. Nobody knows that you don't have a ton of experience, or nobody cares. They're just listening. You got to remember, people are so self-absorbed anyway. It's not they're self-absorbed. They're self-interested.
Yes.
That they're really going, okay, I wonder what that person's going to say and how that what that means to me.
Yeah. What can I get from it? What can I learn from it? What can I, you know, what's in it for me? And, you know, like when you're doing it, when you have imposter syndrome, you're really in your head. Like,
yes.
You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about the things that could go wrong. You're thinking about all the things that are probably not going to happen. And so if you bring it back to the present, if you bring it back to, like, this moment, this right now, because, like I say, you only have now. Like, our past is, like, a series of nows, and our future is going to be a compilation of nows. And so if you bring it back to now and you realize, oh, the reality is I'm here, I'm surviving, and I have this challenge that I can choose to take on head on, or I can choose to shy away from and allow myself to continue to be in my head and allow the other people who are waiting for my message not to get it, not to put myself out there and not to share and make it about me.
That right there, probably one of the most powerful things you've said. And I think the reason why I find it powerful is that most people, it's very difficult to not put yourself in the situation. You know what I mean? Like, to not be in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the imposter syndrome, it is that's it. Right at its core, that's what it is. In fact, I mean, like, that's if you didn't learn anything from today, only listen to what Mia just said, is you've literally got to get out of your own head with that, because that's really what it comes down to. And look, nobody knows. We assume everybody can see straight through us. We assume everybody knows, oh, I'm not prepared, or I didn't do this, or my fly is open. We assume these things when in fact they really don't. So what we have to stop doing is we have to stop comparing ourselves and judging. Now, here's the spoiler alert. And again, this is not meant to necessarily be indicative of every single person that finds themselves in imposter syndrome. But sometimes it can be an indication that we judge other people.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. So we're so pre-programmed to be in judgment mode that the minute we have success, we start, like, nitpicking ourselves, which means we may be doing it to other people.
Yeah.
So be aware of that. I'm not saying it's true for everybody, but we absolutely are comparing ourselves. We're basically saying, well, who am I? Because if you look over here at Exhibit A, you see this person who's so well done, so put together, so successful, and now all of a sudden I've risen to a level that they're kind of at or close. Like, who am I to be like that person? Stop comparing ourselves to each other. The best person you can compare yourself to is yourself. And ask yourself, are you better now than you were before you had the success? Are you better now than you were before you had the promotion, the big sales, the blah, 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 whatever the thing is that you are suddenly struggling with this imposter syndrome over? The answer is, well, obviously, like, the proof is now in the pudding. That's the only person you have to compare yourself to.
Yeah. It's so easy to get caught up in today's day and age where there's so much social media, so much reality TV, and I'm giving air quotes here, and to go on and see somebody's front stage, to see what the best foot that they're putting forward, and to say, oh my gosh, I'm nowhere near that person. Oh my gosh, that person's so put together. Oh my gosh, you know, X, Y, and Z. And to compare yourself now to that person, when in fact, you're right, JT, you should be comparing yourself to your future self, to the person that you want to be, and to your past self. I mean, you're better now than you were, you know, a moment ago, 10 years ago, you know, however long. So compare yourself to yourself, and like, and really, this is the time to get into your own head, to shut out the outside world, and to be self-centered in a way, to look at your own life and your own being, and to really to say, okay, I am no longer going to compare myself, because it doesn't make me feel good. It's not the truth. It's not the reality of the situation. And really, you're in different journeys. You're in different time zones of where they are in life and where you are in life.
And to the point I think you made yesterday was you were talking about self-awareness. And I think this is exactly an example of time when you have to be self-aware. And again, self-awareness is different than self-judgment or, you know, sort of, you know, self-condemnation. It's where we're looking at the reality of it objectively. We're saying, okay, cool. You know, like you said, am I better now than I was 5 minutes ago, 10 days ago, a month ago? The chances, hopefully, if you're working hard, are yes. So just sort of take this as the spoils of victory, because if you've achieved something, it's not by happenstance. It's because you've earned your way into it. And so if we stop comparing ourselves to other people, it becomes easier. But this also means that we have to see ourselves for who we are, not our role, okay, not our title. We're not the CEO. We're not the, you know, we're not the founder. We're not the guru. We're not the, you know, ABCDEF, you know, the alphabet soup behind our name. Those are simply, those are achievements. Those are things we've done. It's not who we are, though. Mm-hmm. And if we can detach our personal identity away from our achievements, then we don't lose who we are. Then we don't go, holy crap, I'm this PhD now, or oh my God, I'm the CEO. No, you're not. That's the title. That's what you show up to. That's your vocation. You know, you might love what you do, but it's not who you are.
Right. Because you bring yourself everywhere. So no matter what profession you change, I mean, we were both, you know, in the Navy. We were both at one point officers and naval aviators, but we transformed into entrepreneurs. But we were always Mia and JT. So, you know, you have to see yourself as that person. And you're not necessarily your body either. So, you know, you can kind of go to a whole new area.
But, you know, to that point, it goes back to what we were saying. You have to get clear on the fact that it's not about, okay, now I got this promotion, or now all of a sudden I'm a six-figure earner, or now all of a sudden I'm a seven-figure, eight-figure earner, whatever the thing is. That's not who you are. That's what you've done. That's kind of cool. I'm not a, I mean, yes, I can say by my title, I'm a naval aviator, right? You know, or former, if that's what you prefer, since I don't physically do it anymore, actively do it anymore. The fact is that it was my job. Nobody goes, hey, that's a circus clown. You know, nobody says, hey, the baker at the grocery store. That's what that person does. But when they come home, are they baking? When I came home, was I flying airplanes? No. We have to get away from attaching our identity to our position. So see yourself for you, the human being, the soul, the person who showed up and did your stuff, right? Not the stuff you did. And then realize that your feelings aren't real. This is something that people struggle with this all the time. Your feelings are false, meaning you might feel like crap about something, but that doesn't mean that something is a bad deal. For instance, yesterday I was talking about competition. If you and I enter in a game, let's go say we're going to go play tennis or shoot one-on-one baskets, right? We're going to go play horse, and you win, and I feel crappy because I lost. Well, somebody somewhere, you feel great because in that situation, you won the game. If I feel crappy, it's because I lost the game. But the fact is, somebody won the game. That's the only reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're shooting, the first person that can hit 10 free throws wins, and you hit 10 and I only hit 8. The reality is, you won 10-8. Now, if I feel crappy about it, then that's on me. That doesn't change the reality, though.
Yep.
If I feel amazing about it, that doesn't change the reality. The reality is, the facts are, you won by 2 free throws. In business, it's really important. In high achievement, it's super important, because if we allow our emotions to drive us, then we get on that entrepreneur roller coaster. We're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. And the bigger that dip and the bigger that climb, the more thrilling or the more crushing that ride is, we start to get driven by our emotions as opposed to us being in charge.
Yes, and sometimes that emotional journey can be, if we're not aware of it, if we're not aware of our emotions being the driver, we can actually get into cycles mm-hmm. of our emotions. And so it really is about pulling the emotion away and saying, okay, what's reality here? You know, it's a cold, cloudy morning, not, oh, it's such a crappy morning. You know, oh, or to somebody else, it could be like, oh, this is so invigorating.
Right.
You know, so it's your perspective. So taking away that emotion and seeing what are the facts? What's exactly going on right now? And that will absolutely help you turn around this imposter syndrome.
Absolutely. And you could test that theory. So let's talk about a cold day. Let's say that there's a Olympic sized swimming pool and it's full of ice water. I mean, like ice floating on the top of it. And I'm at one end and you're at the other end. And let's say that the person at the other end, I'm holding $100,000 in cash, tax free. And I say, all you got to do, I don't care how you do it. You got to get from one end of the pool to the next, but you have to go through the water. Either swim, crawl, I don't care what you do. You don't even have to be fast. You just have to get from one end of the pool to the next through the water. They will fight the whole way. They'll be icy cold, but they'll get there. They'll do whatever it takes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they refuse to see it as cold water. They're focused on the outcome. Yeah, sure, they're numb. They might even be frostbitten by the time they get there, but guess what? They didn't stop. Because they didn't allow their feelings to stop. Now, if I said, just go swim that water with no thing at the end of it, no victory, no trophy, no reward, if they go and do that, it's because they're driven, because they're gritty, because they're all these things. But that person even more so has taken the feelings away. They're like, they're not allowing, oh, it's going to be cold, it's going to suck. They're just like, I'm going to suck it up and do it. And that's what you have to do. You have to get over yourself. If you're in this place where you have this imposter syndrome and it's slowing you down, there's a part where you just have to get over yourself. You've got to stop allowing your emotions and your feelings to drive you. It's okay to feel them. I mean, that's part of being human, right? Because the only people that don't feel emotions are psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not asking you to be a psychopath. What we're saying is get the support. You know, if you need help, reach out to somebody. Reach out to a coach, a mentor, a friend, somebody who's been there, a close confidant, somebody who can help you kind of walk through that cauldron of awfulness. And get to a place where you're like, okay, I can manage this. You don't have to be hunky-dory. Everything's, you know, snapping your, you know, heels together. Everything's great. You just have to be to a place where you can manage it. So that's pretty much, you know, at the end of the day, when you've got that imposter syndrome, when you've got that feeling that, you know, man, I'm not good enough for this. So this situation is too good for me. This is what you got to do, all right? It's about doing the self-assessment, realizing that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You earned it. So stand up, deliver what you got, lighten up on yourself, all right? Give yourself that opportunity. Just, you're not going to blow it. And even if it goes horribly wrong, chances are you and everybody else is going to survive it. And stop comparing yourself. See yourself for who you are. Get past that place where you think that your feelings are reality because they're not. And if you need the help, get the support, all right? There's lots of people out there that can help support you. No reason to allow yourself to stay stuck because you feel like an imposter, because you, my friend, are not. You deserve the success, and you always have, and you earned it. All right, my friends, well, that just about does it for today. Thanks for being with us here each and every single Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. Looking forward to doing it again next week. And remember, no matter what course you fly in life, fly high, fly fast, and fly far. Mia, take us away.
Thanks, JT. Another fun call. If you want to get our free 10-day bootcamp on how to make more money online by attracting the right customers, go to thethinkbignetwork.com. You can also find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/thethinkbignetwork. Now go and share your greatness with the world now, my friends, because now is all you have. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you Monday.